So we're going to start at Samach Gimel at the very bottom, I'm a bet. But the one thing I wanted to just point out about the daf yesterday, that what you see here really is that the rabbis talked about the real issues that were going on, which were difficult marriages and relationships. And then there was the whole section about advice for parnassah, for business things, what you're better off doing. They really related to the, this is just another one of those sugyas that shows that the Gemara related to every aspect of life, not just to the halachic issues, but also to relationships and financial issues that clearly were at the core of people's existence, you know, that they struggled with. And, you know, whether we agree with everything they said and how they throw the women on, oh, either you're a good woman or you're a bad woman, but or a good wife or a bad wife, but yet the real, I think they were really getting to the struggles that people had with their relationships and bringing it to the forefront and not being embarrassed or shy to discuss it. Okay, we're going to continue now. Tana Rabbanan, at the very bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Bet. Uvenucho yomar shuva Hashem revivot alfei Yisrael. Okay, this is the famous psukim that when the Aron Kodesh were blessed, when they were traveling, they would say, shuva Hashem, God shall return the revivot alfei Yisrael. So what is revivot in alfei? So revivot is 10,000, or one revivah is 10,000, and revivot is 20,000, and alfei would be 2,000. So melamed she'ein hashchina shora apachot mishne alafim u'shnei revivot miYisrael. Okay, that there's only going to be a Shechina when there are 22,000 people in Eretz Yisrael, of Yisrael, not necessarily in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so now, where do they, the Mefarshim discuss it, they get this from, that was the number of the Levi'im that didn't sin in Chet HaEgel. They also learned that from this Pasuk, so you don't really need necessarily that to prove it. But what do they want to make out of this? Let's say there were exactly one less than this amount. This is trying to show you the importance of Piriya Rivya, okay, the importance of having children. Let's say you happen, right? This is always the theory of, oh, my vote doesn't count, right? How much is my one vote going to really matter? So, right, how much is my one kid really going to matter? So what do they say? Okay, it could be, you could be the one. If you don't do Piriya Rivya and they're right on the border there, you could be the one that's causing the Shechina not to be among the Jewish people. Abba Chanan Amar Mishumar Belezer, Chayav Mita, Shneamar Ubanim Lo Hayu Lahem. Okay, this is Manadav and Avihu. When it says that they died, Chayav Manadav Avihu Lifnei Hashem, this is in Bamidbar, when it's discussing, they're giving a list of the chronology, and then they say, oh, and their children died. Okay, Bahakrivam Eish Zara Lifnei Hashem Bimidbar Sinai, Ubanim Lo Hayu Lahem. So now you would say, why does it have to say Ubanim Lo Hayu Lahem? Okay, now you could say, very obviously, it says it because there it's discussing the people, right, the genealogy. So, but what do they say? Ubanim lo hayu lahem comes to teach you, ha hayu lahem banim lo metu. That was part of the reason why they got killed. Okay? Part of it is the Mefarshim struggle there. What exactly did they do wrong and why did they get killed? Here's another one. That they didn't have children and that's why they got killed. Okay? Again, they're trying to stress the importance of this mitzvah. Acherim omrim gorem l'shechina shetisalet miYisrael. Okay, you might cause the Shechina not to be among the Jewish people. Shneamar liot lecha l'Elohim ulezaracha acharecha. Okay, this is the pasuk from the Brit Ben Habtarim, I assume, right? Vakimoti abriti beni ubencha ben zaracha l'doratam lebrit olam. Okay, liot lecha l'Elohim, that I will be your God ulezaracha acharecha. Lezaracha acharecha. So what does that mean? Bizman shezaracha acharecha Shechina shora. If you don't continue to have children, al mishora, al etzim v'al avanim, there's going to be nothing left for God if we don't continue the world. And this is, again, trying to stress the importance of each individual. Each individual has a very important part in this mitzvah, because if you stop and someone else stops, there'll be nothing left, basically. Okay? Okay, now we're going to get into some interesting stuff about Sefer Bereishit. Okay, and that's why I brought also this sheet today that helps, going to help us with the chronology of one of the issues. We're going to learn about the issue of if you can't have children, okay, what are you supposed to do? So, nasa isha v'shahayima eser shanim, there's a very famous halacha, if you've been married for 10 years and you can't have children, v'lo yalda, eino rashai levatel. Okay, you can't be mevatel from Piriya Rivya. Okay, so what does that mean? You have to divorce her. Okay? Now, this is a big, right, difficult sugya. What do we do with this? So first of all, the Rama paskins halacha lamaaseh that we don't do this basically. Okay, that we don't paskin this way. That you don't necessarily have to divorce her. But you know, it does come up in the poskim that you're supposed to divorce her. Now we're going to get into all these issues where the rabbis, right, they couldn't really prove whose fault it was. His fault, her fault, right? So that's part of the issue, right? If he's sterile, well then it's not going to help him to divorce her. And if she's sterile, then, you know, then she then can't go marry anyone else. And there's all, and then also, did she get her ketubah money? Because if she was sterile, we already said, you're not supposed to marry an ilonit. And then it was, you could say it was a mekach ta'uti. He didn't know she couldn't have kids. Part of the issue here, when they discuss this kind of an issue, they're talking about the mefreshim assume that they're talking about a case where it's not clear who it is, and they had an assumption that it could be just these two people can't have children together, but if they separated and married other people, maybe they'd be able to have children. Okay, and they obviously didn't know as much as we know medically, although I'm sure a lot of people here understand that nowadays, even so, right, people think that it's a problem with the woman, and then somehow the problem gets resolved, or right, that there's all different, you know, not to mention there's ways of intervening nowadays. Okay, so Nasai Shava Shahaima Esther Shani Velo Yalda. I know Rasha Levatel. Okay, he can't be Mevatel from Puriya Rubya, so he needs to divorce her. Girsha Muteret Linase Laacher. Okay, she's now allowed to marry someone else. This is what they're telling you this because you might have thought, oh, it's her fault, and therefore she can't marry anyone else. Virashaya Shani Lishoti Ma Yud Shanim. Okay, so the other one now also, the clock starts ticking again, and he has now 10 years. Ve'im hipila, mone mishashi hipila. Okay, if she were to get pregnant and have a miscarriage, then it starts from the miscarriage, and you don't say, oh, well, that didn't count because she miscarried. No, she actually got pregnant. So if she actually got pregnant, then we start the count from scratch. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Nasai shav shahayma eser shanim v'lo yalda yotzi v'yitain ketuba. Here the bride adds something the Mishnah didn't mention, which is she gets her ketubah money because she didn't do anything wrong and it wasn't her fault. And right, we don't know for sure that she's an ilonit, and therefore she gets her ketubah money because she didn't. Right, she was totally, it was legitimate the whole marriage, and therefore her ketubah money is hers. Shema lo zachali hibanot mimena. Maybe he wasn't ra'oi, right? Maybe it wasn't going to work for him to have children with her, but not necessarily that it was a problem for each one of them individually, more the combination of the two. Even though we don't have proof for this in the text, we're going to have a reference to it. I'm sure you guys have seen this before. Miketz esher shanim l'shevet Avram be'eretz Kenan. Right? Once Avram was living 10 years in Eretz Kenan, right? That's the pasuk. And tells us what? That Sarai gave him Hagar to marry, right? Why did she do that? Because he couldn't have kids with her. How many years? 10 years. But they haven't been married 10 years. It's only 10 years since they've been living in Israel. So what is the Torah? What do they say here? The Gemara? L'lamdecha she'en yeshiva chutz la'aretz ole lo min ha'minyan. Okay? When they were living in chutz la'aretz, that didn't count. Now, the Mefarshim all have a field day here. They won't, right? Does this mean just for Avraham? Because Avraham was commanded to go to Israel and it was something unique about Avraham. Or does this apply to anybody? In which case, this halacha is totally not relevant for anybody living in Chutz La'aretz. Because then they think, oh, it's because you're living in Chutz La'aretz that you don't have this chutz to have children. But if you were moved to Eretz Yisrael, then you'd be able to have children. You know, then you would, or the schut of that would help you to have children. So the Mefarshim, there's all different people who side on different sides about whether this was just unique for Abraham or this is really a general thing. And then some people say it's not a general thing. However, if you lived in Israel and then you left and you went to Chutz La'aretz, then it would apply. You know, then we would take this seriously. We'd say, oh, well, then because you left Israel, you lost the schut, and you know, until you come back, this isn't so, you know, this isn't going to count. Obviously, it's a help and a hurt, right? If it doesn't count in Chutz La'aretz, it means this whole halacha, right? You don't have to get into the situation where you might have to divorce your wife. Right? You have to remember also in those days, it didn't say this, but it's actually a good question. I'm trying to think, why doesn't it say this? Right, Rashi says it. If you notice, it doesn't say, it just says, Eino Rashai Levatel, okay, in the Mishnah, which means that either he can divorce her or he can just bring on another wife. And that's how Rashi understands it. Rashi says, the first line in Rashi on the page, Ela Oyer Garshena Oyisa Cheredima. In other words, he has two choices. Nowadays, we obviously don't have that second choice of marrying a second wife. But in the days of the Mishnah, they could have just married a second wife, just like Avram did.
He's obligated to take action.
He's obligated to take action. He has to do something, okay? He can't just sit and wait around. Okay, so now they're going to say, Leficha Chalahi Osha Chaltahi. Okay, if we're counting 10 years, we're counting 10 years where they could have had active sexual relationship, basically. If there was something that was preventing them from doing that, then that obviously doesn't get considered into the count. Amar le Rav Rav Nachman, v'leilach mi Yitzchak, why don't we learn it from Yitzchak? Dichtiv, v'yihi Yitzchak ben 40 shana b'kachto et Rivka. Okay, he was 40 when he got married. Uktiv, Yitzchak ben 60 shana b'ledet otam. So what do you see? He was 40, and then he was 60 when he had kids. Now, what do you see, right? He didn't divorce her after 10 years. He didn't take on an extra wife, okay? Now, some of the, if I actually looked up the Pesukim and Rashi. I didn't remember this, but Rashi says there, Rashi fits this in with the 10 years. What does he say? Who could guess? Rivka was three when she got married, according to some of the Parshanut. So if she was three, and maybe this is what, people always wonder, why did they say Rivka was three? This could be the reason. Why? Because if you want those 10 years, she had to be 13, or at least close to 13, right? It really is 12, so it doesn't work 100%. But the point is that she wasn't even Ra'oi. Okay, now, she is Ra'oi Lebiah, because we said three, she's Ra'oi Lebiah, but she's not Ra'oi necessarily to have children. So she can't have a child when she's three. There's an assumption it's considered sex, but it's not considered that she can have a child. She can't bear children. So if you jump another 10 years approximately, right, and then it's 10 years. Oh, and also you can minus year. It is 12 because she was 3. Then she was 12 when we start counting. Then another 10 years gets her to 22, right, and then 23, the one more year, is when she had the babies. Now, she got pregnant a year before. So it actually works very well, that theory. This Gemara doesn't say that, okay? This Gemara assumes right now that it says he was 60 years old. Why? Because it must be that you can wait 20 years. So why don't we say 20 years? So now, Amarle Yitzchak Akor Haya. He was bad. It was his problem, not her problem. Okay? Ihachi Abraham Nami Akor Haya. Well, then why don't you say the same thing by Abraham? Maybe it was his issue. So what do they say? So they say that you can't say that it was Yitzchak's issue. Like, we don't know for sure that he was Yitzchak. What are we going to say? The whole question is, why is it telling us that Yitzchak was 60? The first assumption is they're telling us, just like they said, when Abraham was 10 years in Israel, then he had his baby. Why are they telling us this? It must be to teach us something, right? So Yitzchak also, you could say, must be to teach us. Now they're going to say no. They told us Yitzchak was 60 for a different reason. Okay? We learned this in Megillah. Da'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lama nimnu shnotav shel Yishmael, kedei liyaches ben shnotav shel Yaakov. Why did they count how old Yishmael was when he died? Okay? This is to tell us how old Yaakov was. Okay? I'm going to see if we can do this quickly. Okay? And this is also why they told us that Yitzchak was 60. This is the whole chronology. Follow in the sheet here. Avram, okay, let's start from the top here. This is the whole sugya from Megillah. Okay? I basically just took the sheet I made from Megillah and I printed it out. So Avram was ben 80 shana v'shesh beledet Hagar Yishmael Avraham. Okay? So he's born, right, when Abraham was 86, okay, and Abraham was Be Me'at Shana Beholed Lo Yitzchak Beno. Okay, so we know there's 14 years between Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yitzchak is 60 years old. This is our important pasuk that we said, right? Yitzchak was 60 when he had the babies. So now, Yishmael dies and he's 137, right? Ela Shnei Chaye Yishmael Me'at Shana U'Shloshim Shana V'Sheva Shanim. That's the next pasuk on the sheet. He was 137. So if Yitzchak was 60 when Yishmael Yitzchak was 60 when Yaakov was born. So the difference between Yaakov and Yishmael is 74 years. Do you follow that? Mm-hmm. So when Yishmael dies, okay, from the time Yaakov is born till Yishmael dies is 63. Now I forget where we learned this from, but Yaakov Avinu at the time he got the bracha from his father was 63 years old. Okay, we're going to learn this now. Why? That was when Yishmael died. Okay, I forget how we learned this, but Yishmael died the same time that the brachot happened. So now, if Yishmael died and he was 137 minus 74 years, Yaakov was 63 when he runs away to Lavan's house. Okay, now what happens? 14 years after he gets to Lavan's house. Okay, it says, we learned this in the parasha this last week, when Yaakov was molidet Yosef, okay, what does it say? Vayikasher yaldar Rachel et Yosef, vayomer Yaakov al Lavan shalcheni v'alcha makomi el artzi. It was the first time he wants to leave Lavan's house. That was after 14 years of being there, after he works his 7 years and his 7 years. Okay, that's when, right, this is like a common misconception. Yaakov married Leah and Rachel within a week of each other. You know that, right? He, and then he, right, it says, Malei Shavua Zot, when this week is over, I'll give you Rachel, but you have to work another 7 years. So he gets married then, and then he works another 7 years, and now you see it. It's obvious. So otherwise, Yosef couldn't have been born then. So Yosef is born at the end of the 14 years, and that's when he tries to leave. And then Laban says no, and then he ends up doing this whole thing with the tzon, and then 6 years later, he actually leaves. So at that point, 14 years later, so he was 77. Then Yosef is 30 when he goes before Paro. Yosef ben Shloshim Shana Bamdo Lifnei Paro. So how old is Yaakov at that point? He's 107. When he gets to Paro, then what happens? Kizesh Nataim Haraav Bekerav Haaretz. Okay, that's what happened. There were 7 years, good years, after Yosef got there because of the dream, right? He interpreted the dream right when he got in front of Paro. There were 7 good years. Then after 2 years of the famine, the brothers come to Egypt. Okay, and then they bring Yaakov with them, right? Later on. So now what happens? How many years? That's another 9 years. So if Yaakov is 107, now he's going to be 116. And then what happens when he gets to Egypt, assuming that that happens with all in the same year? Vayomer Paro Yaakov, kama yimei shnei chayecha. Vayomer Yaakov al Paro, yimei shnei megurai shloshim u'me'at shana. He's 130. What do you mean? We just said he was 116. Okay, so now they say that what happened? He must have gone to the house of Aver, you've heard this, to the yeshiva, okay, of Aver. He went to this yeshiva on his way to Laban's house. He went to a yeshiva for 14 years, because that's where they find the missing 14 years must be there. And then they stick those 14 years. They also have an issue because it says that the years that Yosef had disappeared, right, was unknown to Yaakov what his status was when he left, and then they threw him in the pit, all that, was the amount of time that Yaakov left his father. It was like midah keneged midah, that he had left his father. It's 22 years. So then they say, what are the 2 years? They say, it took him 2 years to go back to his father's house. So they say that's how we get the amount of years. And then again, those 14 years aren't included. So they say all the 14 years he was in yeshiva, he didn't get punished for not going back to his father. Okay, which I guess sort of teaches you that you can not do the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ve'em. Limud Torah is more important. Okay, I don't know if you all want to go with this theory that Limud Torah is more important than Kibbutz Av Ve'em. But they say he didn't get punished at least for those years. Maybe it wasn't a perfectly good thing, but he doesn't get a punishment for those years of not having done Kibbutz Av Ve'em while he was learning yeshiva. So that's all the calculation. Okay, let's go back to our Gemara. So now what do they prove from here? You needed to know they needed to tell us the pasuk that he was 60 when they were born so that you would know the difference between him and Yishmael, and you would be able to figure out, right, how the whole chronology happened, so we could do the calculation. And that's why it told us. Okay, and again, that would all teach us this halacha about the 14 years, about the Limud Torah. Okay. So now, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu, interesting, Rabbi Yitzchak, sorry about Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu Akor Haya. Okay, how do we know that he was barren? Shenemar, Vayeter, or I don't know what the word, sterile, not barren. Shenemar, Vayeter Yitzchak LaHashem Lenochach Ishto. Al Ishto Lo Ne'emar, Ela Lenochach. Milamed Sheshnehem Akurim Hayu. Okay, they both had a problem. It was each of them individually, and that's why he prays opposite his wife and not about his wife. By the way, I think it's somewhat forward-thinking of the rabbis. We're going to see some other forward-thinking things they're going to discuss today, but I think it was somewhat forward-thinking of them to think that it's not all the woman, right? You would think that in those times they probably just blamed the woman. It was the woman's problem. And here they're being recognizing the fact that it could have been both. Ihachi vayater lo, vayater lahem ibaile. It should have said, right, vayater lahem, that God listened to them. So now we also get the famous thing that's quoted in Rashi. Why did Hashem listen just to him and not to both of them? She'eno domeh tefilat tzadik ben tzadik l'tefilat tzadik ben rasha. Okay, God accepted the tefillah of a tzadik, who was the son of a tzadik, Yitzchak, who was the son of Abraham. That is a stronger tefillah than a tzadik, the son of a rasha. Okay, or here the daughter of a rasha. Okay, which would be Rivka. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mipnei ma hayu avotenu akurim. So now, how could it be, right? These are all famous gemaras you probably heard. Mipnei shakadosh baruch hu mitaveh l'tfilatan shel tzadikim, right? God wants their prayers. He wants them to turn to him and have a close relationship with him. So he gives them an opportunity to turn to him in prayer, right? This is obviously it's actually interesting because there's the other source that it doesn't bring up here about how Hashem is medakdek with tzadikim kechut hasara, like he's very, very medakdek on everything they do, and therefore they might get punished more. This is more saying not that they deserve to be punished, but that God wants them to become closer to him, so he gives them opportunities by making them struggle, which is obviously a hard to grasp concept, philosophically, right? Yet they're, if they are the tzaddikim, why are they having more pain and suffering? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, lamanim shelat tefilatan shel tzaddikim ke'eter. What's an eter? An eter, it's two different opinions, but assume it's like a pitchfork, okay? It's called a kalshon. We've seen it before, actually. Forgot, I have a book with some pictures. But it's basically this big, large pitchfork that they use for the winnowing, like to separate the wheat from the chaff, okay? And they would, like, put it in the ground and lift up the stuff. Ma eter zem mahapecha tfuah mimakom lemakom, kach tfilatan shel tzadikim mahapecha midotav shel kadosh baruch hu mimidat ragzanut lemidat rachmanut. Okay, it's able to just flip things and turn something from good to bad. Okay, so it takes God's anger and it turns it into rachmanut. Amar Rabbi Ami, Avraham v'Sara, here's a really interesting source, I've never seen this before. Avraham v'Sara tumtumin hayu. Okay, they were both, what's a tumtum? It's someone who, their simanei, zacharu nekeva are undefined, they're covered, you can't, like skin is covering it and you can't see what they are. Okay, and this source is clearly trying to show the miraculousness of the fact that they were able to finally have children. What God was able to do. He was able to take someone from a tumtum status, two people from a tumtum status, and open them up and, you know, change their status to allow them to have children. How do we learn this? Shneamar. Okay, it's a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Habitu el tzur chutzavtem, ve'el makeve bor nukartem. Look at the rock in which you were hewn, right, the word hewn out of, and the hole of the boar in which you were, like, it made more holes, and it was able to be opened. Uktiv, and what's the, I think it's the next pasuk, right, let me just look. Yeah, it's the next pasuk, what does it say? Habitu al Avraham avichem ve'el tzara techolachem. Okay, so they say, who is this rock that we were hewn out of, and the hole with the boar that we were, you know, that was opened up, that must mean that they were tumtumim and God basically cured them. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuah, Sara imenu ailu nitaita, shenemar, batihi Sara akara, ein lav lad. Okay, so what does it mean? Right, it's repetitive. Batihi Sara akara, she's akara, obviously ein lav lad. So what do they darshan ein lav lad? Afilu beit lad ein lav. That she had no way of having children, she was an ailonit. Again, we're trying to stress here the miraculousness of what God was able to do.
This is the only time Sarah is mentioned in all of Nach, by the way.
Oh, really?
Because it was in Sarah, Pegasus, Haftorah, or Bat Mitzvah part, so that's how I know that.
Ah, yafeh. Okay, Yeshayahu, there you have it. Yeshayahu Nun Aleph, the only time Sarah was mentioned in Nach. Yafeh. Okay. Who would have thought, right? It's interesting, like Rachel Mevakal Baneh, and you have that, and that you have Sarah, who's not, doesn't get really a mention except for this one, which is an interesting one. Although, I mean, you have to really figure out what the pshat is of this, right?
Shani Kaligan actually spoke about that at my time talk.
That was the...
She actually talked about Rachel and Sarah, and about how, when they mentioned it, talks about the infertility.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rav Shmuel Bar Shila, Mishmei Derav. Lo shanu, here's a really interesting one. Ela bedorot harishonim sheshnotehem merubot. In those days, they lived much longer than us. So therefore, they had 10 years. Okay, you can see where this is going. Aval bedorot haachronim sheshnotehem muatot shtei shanim v'mechtzeh keneged shlosha iburim. What does that mean? In our day, it should only be 3 years, 2.5 years. 2.5 years is about the time, it's not 100%, but it's about the time of 3 pregnancies. In other words, in theory, you could get pregnant and have a baby 3 times. Not that you could, right? But if you were to get pregnant immediately, right? It's actually an extra 3 months in there, so they give you a month in between, okay?
Very nice.
But that's the amount of time that if you don't get pregnant within that time, since you could have potentially had 3 children and you didn't, so therefore we assume already in that time, you get divorced or try to find alternatives. Rabba Amar of Nachman, Shalosh Shanim Keneged Shalosh Pkidot. Okay, it's 3 years. Why? Not because of physiologically what goes on and what you could get pregnant from, but Da'amar Mar, but Rosh Hashanah, Nifkadu Sarat, Rachel, Vachana. So he says there's those three women that when Nifkadu Rosh Hashanah. So what do we assume? That every, really, what does it mean? Every Rosh Hashanah, God redecides about you. Right? In other words, you get a new chance on Rosh Hashanah. So if 3 Rosh Hashanahs go by and you still don't have children, then obviously, right, this goes with, we're actually going to lead into this issue, it didn't lead in directly from here, but it's the same concept we're going to discuss later on the daf about chazakah. That you basically have a chazakah, that 3 times on Rosh Hashanah God didn't answer your tefillot, so we're going to assume that he's not going to answer them anymore. What's interesting about that is that that has nothing to do with that their years were different than our years, right? In other words, that theory should apply even Bidoro to him, that they had, right? That if they went through three cycles, right, that should have been enough then, according to this. It shouldn't make a difference whether their years were longer, they have more time to play with, and we have less time to play with. It's also interesting, if their years were longer, did they go through menopause later? Like, it, you know, did things, their ability to conceive, did that change as time went on? Although I guess it's really the man and not the woman that they're concerned here for. So that wouldn't really matter. Okay. Amar Rabba, late nehula haniklale. Okay, he says, what are you talking about? This isn't true, that the difference in the years from then to now. Why? Michte maniti man takin, Rebbe. Bahabi may David im uchne. What does he say? It's a ridiculous thing to say this. What do you mean, Bidoro Harishonim? You're talking about a change between the time of the Tanaim to the time of now? It was from the time of David that everybody's lives changed, okay? How do we know that the lifespan of men became shorter in the time of David? Because Dichtiv in Tehillim, which they attribute to David having written, Yemesh notenu bahem shivim shana. Okay, that means, right, David is saying people live generally 70 years, supposed to in the time of Tanakh, where people lived, you know, 120 or more than 120 years. So basically, the point is that to try to make a distinction between earlier Dorot and later Dorot isn't relevant at all, because our Mishnah said 10 years. The Mishnah was written by Rebbe, and he was living already in a time where lifespans were much shorter. So therefore, this isn't relevant. V'hai shema lo zachali hibanot emena. Now they're going to talk about why it says, maybe he was right, this is the words of the Mishnah. Shema lo zachali banot mimena, that's why he has to go look for alternatives, right? It's in the Mishnah or it's in the second? No, I think it's in the Braita. Yeah, it's in the Braita. The first Braita we read, he's Yotzivi tank tuba. Why? Because maybe he wasn't zocher li banot from her. So then they say, V'dilma ihi de lo zachya. Why does it say it in the, as the subject is the man and not the woman? Okay, and this is why they're basically saying here, and this is a very famous thing, that women are not chayavot in Piri Rivia. Okay, we didn't discuss this really when we discussed the Piri Rivia sugya, but the whole women thing is just not in the. Okay, now some people say women anywhere are somewhat chayavot because they're through the man, right? They, you know, it's the only way a man can have it is if the woman is. But from the base chayuv, or at least some of the opinions say that women do not have any chayuv of Piri Rivia. Okay, and therefore they're saying, well, if she doesn't have the mitzvah Puri Rivia, then she, the Lomi Ansha, that basically we don't punish her for the fact that she couldn't have children, okay, and that's why she gets her ketubah money, basically.
Does that stem from a Shechat Zara issue?
What?
That the man is obligated.
Right, so why is the obligation on the man and not the woman? First of all, some people say it's clearly for the woman because it says Puru Urevu in the Rabin. Right, plural, that it applies to both. So it's a big debate. This I don't remember all the details about the machlo, you know, the issues. Is she chayav more from? And this we discussed the other day about that. There's different rivadim or pru revu. In other words, maybe they have some sort of chiyuv of fulfilling, right, of filling up the world, but not necessarily they have a particular mitzvah asay about it that they have to do. But it's more of like a, you know. I don't know exactly how to define the differences.
It's for a man. If you have, if you follow Shechat Zera, right?
Yeah.
The only way to avoid that is through...
I guess so. But they don't link them so clearly, no, I don't think. No, I don't think it's so linked.
Okay.
I don't think so. Okay, so then they say, Ini, is it really true? V'ha amrule rabbanan le rabbi Abba bar Zavda, nisiv ititava oli banai. Go get married and have children. V'amr lehu... Izakai havuli mikamaita, right? If I was zakai, I would have had for my first wife. Okay, so now one second. They're asking a question about, right? Here they're going back to the Mishnah. They're asking a question about the Mishnah. Do you really have to go marry someone else? Okay, because shema lo zachali banot mimena, but maybe he'll be nivne from somebody else. So here they give a case. Okay, this is very similar to what we saw about Rav Sheshet 2 days ago on Friday. They said to Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, go get married to someone and have children. As he obviously had a wife and she was no longer, or they didn't have children with her. I actually don't remember what the story was with her. But Ba'amra Lehu, right? If I was, I would have had for my first wife. Okay, so now what do they answer? Dihuye kamat chulehu l'rabbanan. He was just pushing off the rabbis. Why? To Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, i'akir mepirkei d'Rav Huna. This is another case of this guy who was in Rav Huna's shir, okay, if you remember on Friday, right? What happened? Rav Huna would go on very long time. The people would have to go to the bathroom. They wouldn't be able to go to the bathroom. They would hold it in. And from holding it in, they became unable to have children. Okay, now we're going to have a list of a whole bunch of people that this happened to. Rav Gidul Iyake Mepirka to Rav Huna. Rabbi Chelbo Yakim Repirka to Rav Huna. Rav Sheisha Yakim Repirka to Rav Huna. That we saw already. Yes, somebody should have spoken to him. Here we go. You ready? Rav Achav Rayakov Achadite Suschinta Taluah Ba'arza Debe Rav. Debe Rav Benapit Mimena Kuhutza Yarka. He did this thing where he hung himself on an erez tree. I think it was like he hung himself upside down or something on a column of a
cedar column,
and he basically some discharge came out of him that was green like the palm tree, and he was cured, okay, and that basically solved his problem. Amar of Achav Yaakov Shitin Sabe Havina Bekulu Yarka Mipirka Rav Huna Lebar Me'ana. What is it he said? He said 60 of us were in the shir and had this problem, and only I came out of it because I was mekayim the pasuk hachokhmah techayeh ba'aleha. I knew what to do because I was smart and I knew how to get out of it. Now, if he was so smart, why didn't he tell everybody else what to do? That's a very good question. I don't know, but he was smart and he knew how to get out of it.
Which was to hide himself by the cedar column.
Some people say it was that. Other people say that he was smart enough to just go to the bathroom anyway. In other words, if you take that approach, what it's really saying is, right, yes, there's an issue of kvod harav, right, but there's also common sense. In other words, you have to protect yourself, you know, you have to, like, so yeah, maybe it's not so appropriate to walk out in the middle of a shir and go to the bathroom. On the other hand, if he's going very long and you're going to end up with some physical problem because of this, then be smart and you know, find the right balance between things. Okay, maybe you could go back to our earlier sugya of the limud Torah and the kibud av va'em. In other words, find the right balance. Yes, there might be, you know, yes, there's an importance to learning Torah, but not so that it blinds you so that you don't
there's
do kibud av va'em.
There's a long note here that talks about how it's actually prohibited to hold back bodily functions, but it's also allowed to urinate in public even during a Torah lecture if you actually have to.
Yeah.
So maybe he just did.
Urinate in public. Okay, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
It doesn't say they just did, therefore they didn't purposely restrain themselves. They were just so deeply involved that they didn't notice.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay. Lots of interesting things to think about there. Okay. We're going to move on to chazaka. Now we're getting into the issue of chazaka. Girsha muteret. Okay. This is going to continue on the next page. Okay. We're not going to finish it today. Anyway, it's a fascinating machloket about chazaka. We've seen it before, but we're going to see. I'm just giving you a hakdama. When do you create a chazaka? How many times do you have to do something to create a chazaka? So we normally say three, but there's a machloket. One opinion says two times, and one says three times. And then we're going to see exactly who do we paskin like, and not necessarily going to be clear that we paskin like one in every situation. It might differ in terms of what halacha you're talking about. I mean, it does. We're going to see that in the Gemara at the very end of the daf today, if we get there otherwise, and it continues into tomorrow. Girshat muteret. So once he divorced her, she's allowed to marry someone else. So now they're going to say, sheni in shlishi lo. A second husband, yes. But after, right, what are we assuming? The Mishnah says, if he divorced her, she can marry someone else. But what if she again has that same problem of the 10 years? Then they assume she can't go ahead and marry a third person. Matnitimane, if that's the case, then who's our Mishnah like? Rebihi. It's like Rebbe, Ditanya. We've seen this before. Malaharishon umet. Shein even mate, you have three children, okay? The first one, you give a brit milah, he dies. The second one, you give a brit milah, he dies. Shlishi lo timol, Rabbi says, don't go give a brit milah, the third one. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, shlishi timol, Rabbi I lo timol. Chazak is created only with three. Vahatanya ipcha, doesn't it say the opposite? The Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says two, and Rabbi says three. So what do they say? Hei minayu acharinitai. So which one is the later one that would be the more correct version? So they say, Tashma, let's learn from here. De'amar b'chia bar'aba, amar rabbi Yochanan. Ma'aseh ba'arba achayot b'tzipori. Again, we're trying to figure out here who said two and who said three. It's clear one said two, one said three. The question is who said what. So they say there was a ma'aseh with four sisters in Tzipori. Shemala rishona umet, shnia umet, shlishit umet, revi'it ba'alef ne'raban shemem b'gamliel, amar la al tamuli. So what do you see here? That it must be Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds chazaka with three. Because he said, right, four sisters came, right? So they said, this one's kid died, this one's kid died, this one's kid died. He said, oh, well, the fourth shouldn't do it. So what do you see? Chazaka with three. But now, obviously, it's not a great proof. Why? Because it wasn't
the same.
Because
it was the same sun.
Okay, first of all, okay, yeah. So there's two differences. Number one, they didn't ask the question after two. They asked the question after three. Everyone would agree after three, the fourth one wouldn't. Right. In other words, that was number one. Number two thing is it's different because it's four sisters and it's not one woman with four children. Okay, so now we're going to see both those. First, we're going to see the first one we mentioned. V'dilma I atya shlishi nami hava amrale. If he brought the third kid, he might have also said, right, don't, the third sister, he would have said, don't give the brit milah. Imke maya sadute de Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. But if that's the case, then why would Rabbi Chiya bar Abba be telling us this? Well, it's true. If everyone agrees, and maybe he would also think the second, right, that the third one shouldn't do it, then he wouldn't have brought us this story. He obviously is telling us, the story happened fine. But he's telling us the story. He's clearly trying to tell us that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Chazako is three and not two. V'dilma hakamash malan da'achayot b'chazko. Maybe he's trying to teach us not that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds the Chazakos with three and not two, but maybe he's trying to teach us that even with achayot we can have a Chazako. Okay, here we're going to get to genetics in the Gemara, which is fascinating. Okay, because genetics was not a field that was developed at that time. Okay, so what are they saying? Maybe he's trying to teach us that achayot are mechazkot. Okay, so now Amar Rava. Here we're going to see. Rava says, "Hashe de amart achayot mechazkot, lo yisa adam isha, lo mi mishpachat nechpim, ve lo mi mishpachat mitzoreim." Okay, what are they saying? Since this is really genetics, okay? Since we can say the achayot mechazkot, in other words, what are they assuming? That this family must have a problem with the blood, that the blood doesn't clot, and that's what it was causing the babies to die. And it's a genetic disorder. And therefore, if three sisters had it, the chance of the fourth sister having it is a good chance. And maybe that's what the whole chiddush is. So Rav is saying, if we're going to say achayot mechazkot, then people shouldn't marry. Now here's a, right, this is also very interesting. This is all like Tay-Sachs, right? Yeah. Should you test for Tay-Sachs? Should you marry someone who's a carrier, right, if you're a carrier? So here he says, you shouldn't marry a woman, lo mi mishpachat nichpin, okay, which is some disease epileptic, that's what it says, epileptic. The lo mi mishpachat mitzara'im, okay, which they assume mitzara'at also was a genetic disorder, at least maybe some form of tzara'at, because we know that other forms aren't necessarily genetic, but basically they said, if you have some genetic disorder, you shouldn't marry a woman from a family like that. But this is only if the family, right, there's a chazakah of three people in the family having had it, then you know that there's some genetic disorder and you shouldn't marry people like that, which is a very interesting question because, right, we all know that genetics are, right, that maybe yes, maybe no, right, that it doesn't always carry through to everybody. And here the Rav is basically saying, don't marry someone if you know that there's a potential to have some sort of, you know, problematic children, which actually is also interesting in terms of the sugya puravu. Right? And as you're supposed to fill the world, but maybe they're saying if there's going to be a problem, you know, then...
You're supposed to fill the world.
Yes. Right, right. Which is, you know, a very, you know, it's a very good question that I'm sure this isn't the only opinion. And there's a, you know, there's a lot you can go with this, whether it's true or not. And the chance, you know, if there's chances or if the kid's going to be sick, does that mean you shouldn't have a child, right? In other words, there's all different, you know, where's the concept of maybe God will cure them, right? Maybe... You know, medicine can cure them. How do you treat that? Okay. So my havela. So now, well, what's the story? Okay, we haven't really decided what the story is with these with this chazaka. Ki at Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar Uvda hava kamej Rabbi Yochanan beknishta dimaon biyom kippurim shachali yom shabbat. There was a case that happened before Rabbi Yochanan in the Beknesset of Maon on Yom Kippurim that fell on Shabbat. Okay, so we're talking like the holiest of holies of the day, right? Shabbat Shabbaton. Umalari shonava met, shniava met, shlishit ba'alapanav. Okay, so they had two kids who died, and now the third came before him. Amarle lechi umuli. Even though it was Yom Kippur, and even though it was Shabbat, right? We know that milah is doche Shabbat only if you're supposed to do brit milah. But here, maybe you're not supposed to do brit milah. So how can you say you do it on Shabbat? So what happened here? If Rabbi Yochanan, what's the assumption here now? If Rabbi Yochanan, in the first case, gave the story in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, then the assumption is that he's also going here by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And if that's the case, what did he say here? Do three before you say chazak is created. So again, we're saying that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held that, that's the assumption here, that it's chazak is three, and then Rebbe would be the one who held that chazak is two. Okay, that's how we're going to end up concluding here. Amar le'abaye, chazak de kasharit isura. Visakanta. Okay, so now what does he say? It seems, right? What do I see here? you've allowed an Isser and you've put this baby in Sakana. In other words, number one, it was an Isser of, right, of Shabbat and Yom Kippur, if you weren't really supposed to do the Brit Milah. And number two, Sakana Nefashot, right? Maybe this baby's going to die. Samachala Abaye, Va'azo Naspa Lechuma, Bartid Isi Bered Rav Yitzhak, Bered Rav Yehuda, Denaspa Rechava de Pumbedita, Veshachiv. Okay, so now what does he say? Abaye, even though he asked a question on him, what does he say? If he's going to do this, well, then I can go marry this woman. What was the story with the woman? Here we get to the Isha Katlanit. Okay, that she went, he went and married Chuma, who was the daughter of Isi, the son of Rabbi Yitzchak, who was the son of Rabbi Yehuda. That what happened? She married Rechava Pumbedita Beshachiv. Okay, and he died. Then she married Rabbi Yitzchak Gurei de Rabbi Rabachana, the son of Rabbi Rabachana, and he died. Benat Bahu Beshachiv. And Abai married her, and he died. Okay, very, right, very tragic. Okay, especially Abai had this rough life, right, where he... His mother died in childbirth. His father died. His mother died in childbirth. His father died when he was conceived, and he grew up this whole life struggling. And here, in the end, he marries this woman who was an Isha Katlanit, and he dies. Okay, it reminded me of the movie Black Widow. You ever see that movie? Mm-hmm. So years ago, it's this movie, right, where the woman basically keeps poisoning the husbands, and they die in their sleep, and she just wants all their money. Like, she marries these really wealthy guys, and she keeps killing them, right? Because a black widow is this insect that kills whoever she mates with. Okay. Amar Rava, so Rava sees this story, and what does he say? Umi ikha da'avid uvda b'nafshai? Like, who said you should go do something yourself? In other words, yeah, maybe we hold the chazak is with three, but don't go ahead and put yourself in this situation after, right, it happened two times. Don't, you know, chaval, you put yourself in danger. Ki hai, right? Do we do this like this? V'ha iu da'amar, and Abai himself said, avin de'samcha yitzchak sumka I forget how this reads. 1 second. Here. Okay. He said, Abai was the one who said, Avin de Samcha. Okay, what Avin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yesh l'smoch alav. Okay. Yitzchak sumak alav bar samcha. All right. That's what happened. Avin and Rabbi Yitzchak were bringing over the Torah of Rabbi Yochanan. So what happened here? We were talking about Rabbi Yitzchak, who had said, right? Rabbi Yitzchak had said the chazaka is three, right? Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef came and said uvda hava with Rabbi Yochanan the knist of the ma'on, and he allowed it, right? And Abaye said, but how could you say that? And then Abaye anyway went and held like him. And Abaye himself had said Avin is very trusted when it comes to passing on the Masoret of Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yitzchak is not so trusted in passing on the Torah of Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to see why in a second. Okay? Understand? So he's basically saying, not only, right, should he not have done this, but he was the one who said that Rabbi Yitzchak is not trusted when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan's Masorot. So why did he rely on what Rabbi Yitzchak said, that it was only two, that was three times and not two times? Okay? So now we're going to see. Vayudamar Avin Desamcha, Yitzchak Sumka Lab Bar Samcha. Yitzchak Sumka means Yitzchak the Red. Okay, they called him Red. I don't remember why they called him Red. Is not reliable. Avin Yeshno B'Chazara, because Avin would always be Chozer on what Rabbi Yochanan said. And Yitzchak Sumka Eino B'Chazara. Okay, he didn't do Chazara very much on Rabbi Yochanan's Torah, and therefore he's not trusted. V'od, you could see how Rava, right? Rava and Abai fought all their lives, but you can see that when he died, Rava took it very hard, right? And he said, Abai, I can't believe you did this. Like, how, right? It's like when someone dies, you raise all those questions and you say, how could he have done that, right? He himself said, don't rely on him, and I can't believe he did that. Ve'od, imer de pligi le'inya mila, b'nisuim mi pligi. Okay, we're going to end here today. I'll just end with this question. The fact that we said that they argue le'inya mila, are we going to assume that they also argue on the inyan of nisuin? Okay, and now we're going to start to see that there was differences of opinion about whether we hold, do they argue in every case, or do we hold, like maybe they do argue in every case, but maybe there's a difference between milah, between nisuin, between in all these different cases, maybe there's different issues at stake here, and therefore the chazakah that we're going to hold might be different. So in some cases we might hold two, and in other cases we might hold three. So he's basically going to say, it could be in brit milah, we're going to hold three, but when it comes to nisuin, we're going to hold two. Okay, and then we're going to see the distinction between which cases are what, and where we hold. Okay, stop here for today.
I'm surprised they don't bring up Yehuda and Tamar.
Uh-huh. Right. We saw that last time, I think they talked about it.
Right.